continue on with our series on Together. Right, this is the last one on Together. So I hope this doesn't mean that we'll never be together again. I think that's. I hope this means that we'll be together forever. Quite the opposite. But so the title of the message today is Together in Transformation. Together in Transformation. So we're going to be talking about some fun stuff today. We're going to be talking about healing. We're going to be talking about obviously transformation. We're going to be talking about disability and sickness. And then we're going to close by talking about Pentecost and how to make sense of all of this. All right, so some of you have heard me share this story before. And my dad is here today, by the way. So if everybody wants to say, hey, Wayne. But dad was actually present for this story. This happened about 8.5 years ago. My mom had just passed away from a sudden heart attack. And we flew back from Nepal. And we were at a church that I had never visited before. And we were in the parking lot of this church. And I was just walking through the parking lot as I normally do with my white cane, you know. And this man shouts out from, I don't know, 30, sound like he's about 30 or 40 feet away. And he says, hey, sir, can I pray for you? And I grew up Pentecostal, so I knew where this was going. Blind guy in a parking lot, prayer of boldness. I knew he didn't know about my mom, so I was pretty sure he wasn't going to pray for that. And I didn't think that he was just going to try to encourage me to be a better follower of Christ. Sarcasm high there. Okay. But in fact, my assumptions were right. So I just, you know, I approached him. I said, so what do you want to pray for? Which I already knew. He said, I'd like to pray for your eyes. And I said, I don't, you know, you can, I guess, if you want. But, you know, I don't really feel the need for healing. I don't feel like I'm sick. You know, I believe that, you know, in Exodus 4, it talks about how God has actually made people blind and deaf and has sovereignty and control over that. And, you know, God's power is made perfect in weakness. And I really wasn't trying to be I wasn't really trying to come at him, but I was just like, hey, you know, this is where I am on the subject. And he, just like many believers have done throughout the centuries, ignored everything I said, and he just goes in. You know, he just goes in, starts praying, starts binding the enemy. And again, I said, you know, sir, I got to say something to you, man. People like me are pretty weary of this. You know, every time I go, I carry this white cane. For most people, it means independence. But for some people, in the Christian circles especially, it means that it's time for an object lesson. You know, to prove God's power or whatever. And it's really, really challenging to go anywhere in Christian circles. And I said, you know, I basically, you know, went on and I told him about this thing about God's power being made manifest in weakness. And so could you please just, you know, at least listen a little bit? That didn't go well. And he started, you know, he said, you know, I think that's where you're wrong. He starts arguing with me, you know. You know, God is, what was this, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But, you know, Christ has come to give you life and more abundantly. So in this guy's mind, at least, and I think this is true for many Christians, he was equating disability with satanic bondage. And so needless to say, my experience at that worship service for the next, you know, hour and a half was like, to say the least, right? And so what we're going to try to do today, because what I see when I see Jesus, when people are approaching him, and when there are people with disabilities who approach Jesus, they leave encouraged. They leave, like, I don't think you find any account throughout the scripture where someone with a disability approaches Jesus and leaves, like I just said, right? They don't leave like that. Now, different frame of reference, okay? I'm just going to set this up before Beth reads the scripture, but we're living in a different kind of frame of reference. Disability, sickness, all of that was kind of equated with the same, like all the same ball of wax in Jesus' day. You know, disability was not perceived at all positively, and so there was, and it would have also meant that people would have been completely isolated, right? And so when Jesus comes healing, he doesn't just it's not just so much about their body, but it's actually a reestablishment of their identity in a community. So it's a whole lot different, right, than those perspectives. And so I'm going to go there, but we are going to, I do think that there's a strong place for physical healing, and we're going to talk about that. But Beth is going to read, if you would come, she's going to read Luke 18, 35 through 43, and there's a good passage for us to reflect on.
Okay. And as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire who this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped, commanded that he be brought to him, and when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God.
Thank you, Beth. All right, so here we go. This is a very interesting passage. So I want you to notice, I want us to notice a few things. One thing that we won't be able to notice unless you're just going to scroll up on your phone or in your Bibles. But if you scroll up to like verse 15, this is right after there's this mention of Jesus touching children or touching babies as they would come to him. So he's engaging that way with his fingertips. And then we have some other senses being engaged in this story. A man who can't see, a man who's blind. He hears this commotion, and obviously he figures out somehow through his hearing, not just that this was like Jesus and his entourage, but this is the Messiah, because he actually uses a messianic term, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So this dude who can't see, right, he hears, and with his mouth, all right, we have three senses now, touching, hearing, right, talking, right? He with his mouth, he proclaims the word of God, actually, by saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd, being, you know, again, their frame of reference is like, okay, here's this disabled guy. You know, what's he doing? Why is he even speaking? You know, they're trying to get him to shut up, and he ain't going to shut up. He like speaks louder, right? He's like, no, "Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And this is a critical piece that I want you to notice. Jesus doesn't always do this, but he does this in this case. And he asked the question, contrary to my parking lot boy, he asked the question, "What do you want? What do you need? What do you want prayer for?" Basically, right? So he puts the ball in this man who's blind. He puts it in his court. He could have said a number of things, right? He could have said all kinds of different prayer requests, right? But he did want his sight restored. And so Jesus, being the healer, he restores his sight. So that's the first thing I want us to notice, is that if we're going to, I don't actually think that we have a terrible theology of healing in most churches, but I think that we have a pretty lousy administering of healing when it comes to people with disabilities, and even sometimes with people with sickness, by assuming what they want before we ask, right? And so he doesn't, you know, Jesus, being fully God, doesn't make that assumption. We would probably do well to ask, right? So he asks, and the man, he, you know, his sight is restored, and there's an interesting word here. Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you." That word "heal" is sotso, which in the Greek, which actually combines both physical or both healing or like divine healing and salvation. That is an interesting term. We have that term throughout the New Testament, and it's used here as kind of both and. You know, salvation and healing. And so he says, "Your faith has healed you." And I want you to catch what happens around that is the people who were like, "Shut up, shut up, shut up," were like, "Oh, praise the Lord." You know, they're like praising God all of a sudden. right? And so this man is used powerfully, not just to be a witness to himself. And I want you to catch this too. This is not so much about this man's body getting better as it is the entire community giving praise and glory to the Lord. I think that's something we really miss sometimes when we're thinking about healing, we're thinking about sickness, and we're thinking about disability and all this stuff. It's not so much about the individual. We're talking about together, right, in the series. It's not so much about the individual bodily healing, for our bodies will waste away no matter what. He could have got healed here, and then, you know, anybody in this room who's sick, you can get healed now, but eventually we're all going to die, right? I mean, eventually that's going to happen. We're all, some people have used the term, we're temporarily abled because our bodies are going to break down at some point, right? But then in this passage, though, there is this illumination that I think that we can see to the broader community who is then transformed by healing. So my challenge for us as we're being together is to really shoot in both directions. So, you know, I would like to make a little bit of a distinction between sickness and disability. I think that's appropriate at times, because if we go too far one direction, we're going to think that every time that we see any kind of problem or any kind of adversity, we could easily label that as like demonic, right? But then we could go the other direction, and some do, that, you know, whatever happens, you know, Satan doesn't really have any interference in the world, and that's not true either. Right? So how do we know which one it is? That's the million-dollar question. I don't have an exact answer. I really don't. But I do think asking the person who is requesting prayer, and the Vineyard prayer model does this quite beautifully, but asking them, you know, asking them, what is it? What is it? And then praying into that, leaning into that, and listening to the Lord in prayer. And so we have that. And so I would like to, Bethany McKinney Fox, she is a theologian who's written a bit on this topic, and I really love what she does with this. Is she said that she would like to change the phrasing of divine healing to divine transformation. And the reason she would like to see that shifted, because so often healing involves like individual kind of bodily healing, but transformation involves like we get it all at the same time. We get the body, we get the physical, we get the individual, and we get the community. Because what happens in this passage is that the entire people witnessing, can you imagine this blind person who has just been shielded off is now the talk of the town, right? It's not just that like he was individually healed, right? And so that's a big piece of transformation, of going communal, going public with our healing, if that makes sense. You tracking with me, if that makes sense a little bit? All right, so I think that's the first point that I would like to make there. But let's, guys, as a church and as individuals, let's be people who believe absolutely that the Lord can and even desires to heal people, right? Because there's on the one hand, folks like me, they may not believe that they're sick, and they may not, you know, even see, you know, that as a thing in their life. But there is a huge part of disability and disease and whatever that is, it is sickness, right? There's pain. There's absolute pain in people's lives. So just because I have a perspective on this as a blind person, you might talk to another blind person who just lost their sight, and they're like, please pray, you know? And so that's why it's so important that we ask, so that people can give us their perspective. So don't just take John Trotter's word for it. Ask, and then we can administer healing appropriately in Jesus' name. Right, and so let's shoot in both those directions. All right, so that's the first thing of just, again, individual bodily healing plus transformation. Acts 2, let's kind of go there. I'm just going to refer to it. So we are a Vineyard church, right? And we are people of the Spirit, right? That is who we are. We are people who walk in step with the Lord, not to say that others don't, but it is an emphasis. It's a very strong emphasis in our movement. All right. And so in Acts 2, you should be able to quote this by heart, right? But this is on the day of Pentecost, right? And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends just as Jesus promised, right? And this descent, all kinds of weird, crazy, cool things start taking place. So there are what appear to be on this group of these people gathered together. There appear to be like these tongue, like this fire that separates, and they're like tongues of fire on top of people's heads. Okay. That's very interesting. I haven't seen that happen before, right? So that happens. And then as the power of God descends, these people begin to speak in unknown languages, unknown tongues that they didn't know, right? And they began to speak. Okay, so we're going back to the senses. Jesus touched, right? Jesus, we had this blind guy who spoke and he heard. In this passage, we have this speaking that takes place. And this is kind of mentioned by, not kind of, but it's really expounded on by a guy named Amos, not my son, but Amos Young. And he kind of points to this idea that there's not just speech going on, but there's also kind of this divine hearing going on, because they're able to hear there's enablement and understanding that came from the Spirit through hearing. Right. And so the Holy Spirit begins to descend, and, you know, they speak in other tongues. And eventually, you know, Peter, he stands up, and, you know, all the thousands of people give their hearts to the Lord. You know, people think they're drunk. I mean, it's just like crazy, just straight chaos. So kind of hard to kind of do the Holy Spirit stuff orderly at times. But it seems like a whole frenzy a little bit that's happening on the day of Pentecost. So that all happens. I guess another point that I would like to make, that this is back from Joel, right? This is the prophet Joel who had promised that this would be poured out. And so I want you to notice again the senses that are involved in that reading, right? It says that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all people, on all flesh. That's an important thing to notice. All people, meaning male and female, meaning that those gathered on the day of Pentecost spoke different languages, very likely from different classes. Could it be that there are people of different abilities that were there? Probably, right? And so he said that he's going to pour out his Spirit on all people. That's the everybody gets to play sort of moment, right? That he's going to pour out his Spirit on all people. And then it says there that the young will see visions and the old will dream dreams, right? He'll pour out on his Spirit in the last days. And so, again, notice those senses, seeing visions. And then I think one thing that's really kind of complicated and interesting is that even while people are asleep, they're empowered somehow. There's something happening even in the midst of their sleep. Maybe it's a dream while they're awake. I don't know. But there's something there. And so there is this. So if the Lord can inspire speech, and if the Lord can inspire hearing, it seems like he's also inspiring some other stuff going on through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because you see throughout the book of Luke, notice how many times Jesus touches people, right? He touches the little children, and there's something that happens. He touches lepers, and they're healed, right? Remember the woman who's crying out to Jesus, right? And she's washing Jesus' feet with her hair. There's some engagement happening there. I think we in the church, particularly in the charismatic church, but I think in all versions of Christianity, we really emphasize speaking a lot. Doing that right now. We emphasize hearing an awful lot. But there's more that meets the eye, pun intended. There's more than meets the eye that's going on. There's this descent of the Spirit. Could it not be that if God can empower all people, that he can empower all senses and engagement through the Spirit? And this is why it's really, really important, and talking about being together in transformation, that we not limit the Lord's work to just one mode or one sense, because there's a lot more going on. Some of you guys, I have the permission from Pastor George to share this story from Atlanta Vineyard, George Kelly. But some of you know his son, Stephen. Stephen has a quite severe disability, mental disability, and his speaking is quite limited. Very limited, but he can understand a whole lot more than what you may be able to observe from those initial interactions. But I haven't, you know, I've known him for a couple years and heard him say very, very few words. And so I was once sitting at church when I was attending Atlanta Vineyard, and I was having a not so good day, and I was just kind of sitting in my chair, kind of like Is this done yet? Sort of thing. You know, I was just frustrated by something else that was happening at work or whatever. And I was just sitting in my chair, just kind of despondent. And I didn't know he was there. But Stephen, he came up behind me and he began to it seemed like he was praying for me, but he just put his arm on the back of my neck, his hand on the back of my neck, and it kind of, I didn't really notice it was there. But guys, as soon as Stephen touched my hand, or as soon as he touched my neck, there was like power that came from his hands into my body, and there was like a surge of encouragement and comfort that I absolutely needed. And I was like, what just happened? You know, what just happened? And so one of the things that I would like us to really think about and wrestle, not even wrestle with, but just think about, is the bigness we were talking about from the way beginning in this series about the imagination, right? And expanding our imagination, that if God can anoint speech, and if God can anoint music, and if God can anoint hearing, he can anoint touching. He can anoint all these other senses and these abilities. And that's why it's so powerful for those, everybody gets to play, right? Everybody gets to play, no matter who they are, no matter whosoever will. And so we've got to be, that's the kind of church we want to be, right? That's the kind of church we want to be, where all are welcome and all get to play. You know, we don't just have like this disability ministry, you know. And then I think there's a good thing for that, because very few churches are doing that either. But we're not just like tucking people into the side room and, you know, from 7 to 8 a.m. before church starts, that's our disability ministry, right? But we're all in this together, right? And we all get to play. One other point I would like to make as well is just this idea of just being open and being yielded to the Holy Spirit, I think is just incredibly important. So I think sometimes we can easily just sort of kind of just breeze along and not really have much expectation from people who would be, you know, differently abled. And so let's make sure that we as a church give people a chance to administer the gift of healing. So I think, so if we look back again, just refer back one more time to this Luke 18 passage. So you have this man, you know, he's using his ears, he's using other senses, he's enabled, but then it does end up transforming the entire community. I really want us to think about that and kind of sit with that a little bit on this transformation of the entire community. There are people right here amongst us who have stuff going on in their bodies, and I would really like to take some time this morning, more extended time, to make sure that we create space so that people who might be suffering in their body could be prayed for. I'd also like to make some space for those who maybe they don't have that need, like that huge need, right? And they're like, you know, I don't really want prayer for that physical thing, but I do want prayer for this. I would really like us to create some space for that. And just again, I hope this is a little bit helpful, just to see that we are all coming from different places. And guys, if we're not careful, we could think that we're administering healing in the name of Jesus, but what we're doing is we're actually making the gospel and the power of God burdensome to people and driving people away. I was once at I was going through a blind training institute, and I don't know, I personally don't know a whole lot of blind believers. I know some, but very few. But the consensus of the group that I was in, there's like five or six people talking, was like, this guy was like, he just said to me, he's like, I hate going to church, because every time I go there, somebody always has to pray for my sight to be restored, and I hate it, and so I don't go. He didn't have a problem, I mean, seemingly, I'm just reading into this a little bit, but he didn't say anything about belief in Jesus or, you know, theology or something like that, you know, as being a barrier. He didn't actually seem like he had much of a problem with Jesus, but he did have a problem with the way that people were administering healing. And so let's be careful about that and ask, right? And ask. I know it seems simplistic, but my goodness, for me in my life, it's like water falling on the rock, water falling on the rock. Eventually, there's a hole in that thing, right? And so let's just open ourselves up that way. I just had a couple closing thoughts to wrap us up here. But, you know, I really do want to commend all of us as a church. Even when the process of me becoming the pastor here, it was a really awesome thing to me that, like, you know, we sat down for a couple hours the first time. Guys, almost every time when I go into a situation like that, you know, blindness is the very, very first thing I have to sort out. You know, like, never mind your resume, never mind what you've done in your life or whatever, never mind God's calling on your life, but just please tell me how you're going to do things as a blind guy. And that was not mentioned really at all in that whole first meeting. And that says something about a community. That says something about the welcoming. That says something about the belief in people of all abilities. It says something. And so I just want to commend us for that. And I've seen this happen in numerous ways. We have, you know, different people who are sick, different people with other disabilities and things like that. And this is a welcoming place. And so let's continue to be that. Let's continue to welcome. That we would expect our church to be noisy with people with other abilities, right? A noisy church means that there's people with disabilities in your church, right? Not tucking away in a side room or whatever, but maybe we continue to be a church like that, you know, that welcomes and welcomes and welcomes. And so I just want to commend us with that. And also, let's continue to be bold in our prayers. You know, as we ask people and they have requests, let's administer healing in Jesus' name, right? So that we can see transformation happen wherever we are. You know, at the store, at our house, or wherever it would be, right? And I'm just going to pray to wrap up today. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for being such a wonderful example for us of someone who invited, who touched people, who ministered to them. Lord, thank you for these examples that we have in Scripture of Zacchaeus and the Ethiopian eunuch and others who cry out to you. Yeah, Lord, we're so thankful for that example. May we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. May we do transformation and healing in the way of Jesus. Lord, that as people would see our lives, that they would just remark, wow, this person has been with Jesus. I feel welcomed. I feel whole. I feel accepted. And more than that, Lord, that they would be empowered to be witnesses of your Spirit through all abilities and all senses. Lord, through things like photography and things like that that we're doing, Lord, may you enable our senses to engage with the world around us. God, through things like litter pickup, engage the senses that we use in those areas. Engage our senses on Sundays as we worship and we proclaim and we dance and we, all of those things. More of you is what we desire, Lord. May we not put a lid on what you want to do. May our expectation be great. May it be as great as you are, Lord. But we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you so much for your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.